All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. We have a long portion to read this afternoon. Let's quickly get into it. The book of Matthew chapter 24. I think that's what we read. We read from 25 last time, but actually it's a long discourse that began in chapter 24. So let's start from there. The book of Matthew chapter 24, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are talking about the doctrine of the appointed time. It's very important. Let me say these things to us again so that we can remember them and connect what we said before to what we are going to say today. God has an agenda. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes, God has an agenda. He's not doing things haphazard. He doesn't just discover that something has happened and then he'll respond. No, he has an agenda. For example, the Lamb of God was said to have been slain before the foundation of the world. That is, before the Lord created the heavens and the earth. He already determined that the Lamb of God will be slain at a particular point in time. That means, therefore, that the sin of Adam did not come to God as a surprise. Along the line, I'll still teach about it. It's not possible in life never to make a mistake. It is not possible. If you did not make a mistake, somebody else made that mistake before you, and you learned from their mistakes. Mistakes are part of life. What God judges is refusal to repent. Are you getting what I'm saying? God did not reject Saul as king for refusing to destroy the Amalekites. He said, because you have rejected the voice of the Lord thy God, therefore he has also rejected you from being king. It was not rejecting the voice of God in that go and destroy the Amalekites. That was not what happened. It was when Samuel came and brought correction to him. And he rejected the correction. That was the voice of the Lord his God that he rejected that brought judgment into his life. You cannot in life not make a mistake. If you didn't make the mistake, somebody else made it before you. That's the way life is. I believe one of the problems, all right? You see, as part of God's agenda, he has to demonstrate that certain things are bad. We are cheating ourselves. Nigeria is backward, not because we don't have natural resources, not because we don't have intellectual resources. We have all of it. But an average person is wicked. An average person is selfish. I was thinking about it again today. You know, they said Nigerian police is corrupt. And I was reading, there was a poll they did. They said the most corrupt establishments in Nigeria, they put police as number one and NEPA as number two. That's PHCN. All right? And of course, somebody said, what about custom? Custom was number three. And then I said, don't be impressed. Police is not corrupt. NEPA is not corrupt. PHCN. Custom is not corrupt. You know what happens? Nigerians are corrupt. The congregation of any one of them is corruption. So if you call their name Nigerian police, you find corruption. The problem I have today is when you now have Nigerian pastors and you are still having corruption. That is where the problem is. What am I going to explain? So that the black man is keeping himself backward because of corruption is not an accident. The Lord knew that a certain generation of people will come that will keep themselves backward as corruption. But if they will take the blood of Jesus and apply it, are you getting my point? You will discover the victory over corruption. And he will have demonstrated to the whole earth, to the whole universe, that selfishness is bad. It hurts not only the people around, but the person who is selfish. Even Confucius, the Chinese philosopher, said it. The quickest way to go forward in life is to help other people go forward. Nigeria has a lot of money. I said, I'm itemizing, I'll soon do it. About 20 different ways by which we waste resources, that is, by which we keep ourselves in poverty. For example, not being disciplined at junctions is one of the ways we keep ourselves in poverty. Move, I won't move. You stay there. You cause about 200 people to wait for 10 minutes. Calculate the number of man hours being wasted. What am I trying to explain? God is not taking him by surprise, these things, all right? He has to demonstrate that they are wrong. He has an agenda. Are you getting my point? Now, because of that, he has set times and seasons that certain things must be accomplished. But this is one thing I want to understand. This is one thing God did not do. Hear me, this is one thing he did not do. He didn't put anybody's name on anything. Judas' name was not put on betrayer. Are you getting my point? But the office of the betrayer was prepared. Are you getting what I'm saying? The office of the betrayer was prepared. God had a plan for the life of the man Judas, son of Iscariot. He did. And the plan was for good and not of evil, to give him a future and a hope. That was the plan. Except that Satan also writes plans. He does. And whichever one you walk in is determined by the choices you made in life. As you make your choices, all right, you find yourself qualified for a place or disqualified for another. That's just the way life is. That's what we're trying to explain. I'm not going to that in details now. So we're talking about the doctrine of the appointed time. I said there are two sides to it. There is a time that God decided, listen, I will let communism blossom, then I will judge it. Everything that rises against the knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ, a time has been set for his judgment. Listen to me, let me let you know it again. There is no religion by any name that can outlast Christianity. It's not possible. Because in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness can never overcome it. It's not possible. Anybody who has sense, I like to quote that's Archbishop Desmond Tutu those days. He said that, he told the apartheid people, and this is the doctrine. He said, listen, he told the white rulers, he told them, he said, you must understand that we are dealing with what God is doing. Get what I'm saying? That is, no matter how hard you fight it, apartheid is coming down. That the season for discriminating against the black man passed long ago. You can fight it all you want, apartheid is coming down. What you just need to do is to line up with what God is doing. Miles Monroe said, listen, you have to learn to cooperate with seasons. If it's winter and you refuse to wear a thick jacket, you freeze to death. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, you freeze to death. God is not angry with you. You just don't recognize times and seasons. So Desmond Tutu told them, I read it, the thing where he wrote it, that he told these people, now listen, guys, it's not about, oh, please, this is one thing we don't know how to judge things in life. We start writing stories about African National Congress, how they fought for apartheid. Hear ye the word of the Lord. If they did not raise a finger to fight, apartheid would have come down the time it did. If anything, they delayed its coming down. These are truths that you can't tell people because they don't understand the mind of God. One of the greatest problems an American black person has, all right, is that he believes that the white people don't want him to succeed. Let me tell you the truth, it is a lie. And I'll prove it to you. Over half of America voted Barack Obama into office. Then who does not want you to succeed? After all, the black people constitute just about 10% of the population of that nation. Women are half. They have not complained that we have not been made president. I don't know whether I get my point. It's a grasshopper mentality. We are like grasshoppers before them. And we too, we have assessed it. They are correct. I thought about it. An average... Now, listen to what I'm saying. I am not saying there was not a time that the white man did not think the black man was inferior. And as a matter of fact, the black man was inferior. And I'm a black man, I can tell you that. It's a spiritual reason. But when the light began to shine even inside the blackness of his skin, because the light shines in darkness, the darkness in the heart of the white man could not overcome it. Listen. When Barack Obama won that American presidency, I explained something then to people. I rejoiced, not because I knew the man. I rejoiced, not because I was planning to emigrate to America. I rejoiced because, go and listen to my messages, that I recording here in 2003. You will see I've been saying these things before then, about the fact that the time to favor the black man has come. Not, listen, it's divine. It was orchestrated by divine wisdom. God planned it ahead of time. Do you get my point? So when the man became president, it was a sign to me personally that the things we were saying, they are true. But I'm coming to something here. You see, I was thinking about it earlier today. I said any black man in America that still says the reason why he can't progress because the white people don't like him has missed God's appointed time. He has. He has. God brought that man as president just to give everybody a sign. That listen, if anybody doesn't like you now, it's because you are not worthy of what you are looking for. Are you getting what I'm saying?
that it will not happen. That they will refuse to employ you because you are black. They will refuse because you are stupid. If you get there and you are demanding, yes, equal rights, equal rights. How can an idiot demand equal rights with wise men? Before you go there and demand, sharpen your brain. Are you getting my point? Because the time to favor you has come. That's what I'm trying to explain. But my emphasis is that God orchestrated it long ago. Long ago, I planned it. It is not any civil rights movement. Let me explain something to you. When the Spirit of God wants to do things on the earth, people suddenly start noticing it and their spirit starts cooperating. Are you getting my point? And that's what you see as activism. Let nobody give the credit to ANC. African National Congress did not deliver South Africa from apartheid. They did not. It was God's time and God's season. Are you getting my point? Now, but what we are discussing specifically, all right, is that when the season comes, where are you? Because in your life also, there are times, there are seasons. There are things that must happen before another time and before another thing, all right? And then I said something to you before, just like you're going to university, there's a course you want to come up with a particular degree. There are a set of courses that you must take. They say minimum 4 years, maximum 8 years. That is, at the end of 8 years, the appointed time will have elapsed. And last time I explained something, that people can miss the appointed time. And it's frightening. It's frightening. But it appears to me that that's one of the worst things you can do for yourself in life. You know why? Because, let me say it like this, so that you know I'm telling the truth. Because there is a time that people seek for a place with repentance, with tears, and they can't find it. Esau, when the time to take the inheritance came, he discovered the mistake he made before, and he tried to rectify it. Except that the time for rectifying it had passed. Let me tell you something. Each generation has its time. Each generation does what? I've heard people preach before. And me too, I used to think like that. They say, what's wrong with you young people these days? At the age of 30, Gowon was the president. At the age of 20-something, Shola wrote a particular play. At the age of 20-something, a clerk did this one. They start quoting something. I say, have you noticed something? Everybody you quoted was 20-something, 30. It wasn't their struggle. It was a season in which people, that God brought people out, and they were all in that age bracket. It was not their inherent abilities. It wasn't. You can't tell me that Daniel Amokachi played better than Michel Godegbami or Christian Chukwu or those men of those days. No! It's just that in their time, God didn't pump money into Nigerian football. Nigerian footballers were not out there making millions of dollars. I mean, Christy Essien Igbokwe was there on TV doing, what was she playing again? Jegede Sukoya's wife or some one of those things, if you remember. Did she make any money from it? No. You have a lot of half-educated girls walking up and down now, earning $2 million per movie. In Nigeria, it's season. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm bringing an issue. Each generation has a season. This is the same I want to make. If you miss the time of your generation, I don't believe there is a place for repentance. God is not going to remove you from your generation and throw you to the next generation. He's long-suffering. He waits. He gives time. But, once the bridegroom shows up, go and read your Bible, they always close the door. Read your scriptures well. Once the bridegroom shows up, they shut the door. Boom! The door is closed. If you want to be a businessman, you are not going to wait. Are you getting my point? Till all your friends are 50, they've made money, they want to start investing. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You'll see as we go on, you will discover that one of the greatest reasons people miss the appointed time is because what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? That That's one of the greatest reasons people miss the appointed time. And listen, when for each generation, the time passes. You know, we read the other day, I think it was on Tuesday, when we're studying 1 Samuel. God blessed the people as much as he could, even though he never wanted them to go through the way that they went through, in asking for Saul and rejecting the principle of repentance for the solving of their problems. But God still blessed them. I said, don't follow testimonies. There are a lot of people that you look at, and it's very common in Nigeria. I know it. It's one of those causes, one of the effects of the curse of Noah. All right? Cause the, it caused Ham, caused the Cush, caused the Mizraim, caused the Put, caused the Canaan, all of them. One of the causes he placed upon them that they didn't have the ability to enlarge their minds. What am I saying? A lot of people that we celebrate is because they came out of poverty. They are still poor. They are still poor. They are still poor. But they came out of the depths of poverty. Then everybody began to celebrate them. And they relaxed there. They are not able to expand their minds. So what happens is sometimes people who have missed the will of God, they are scoring 10% according to the divine agenda. But that 10% is greater than most people around them have ever seen. You know, the other day, some people sent a message. I think they called Yinka, and then they sent me a message that they are giving me an award. I said, Yinka, tell them I'm not receiving any award. For what? Before you do anything, they start celebrating. You should know they are begging you to please fail. Ask them, what have I done that you are giving me an award for? Sir, you have impacted the life of young people. Let them succeed. That's the award. Yes. Now that they have heard me and they are dancing. Those who heard the word, they rejoiced. Yet they did not have any deepness of earth. And when the tongues came, choked it. So let's not rejoice yet. Sir, you have preached over 1,000 sermons. I'm supposed to preach 100,000. Why are you celebrating me at 1%? Don't start looking for unknown. You know, people say, Nigerians, they crazy. Sir, professor, doctor, chief, apostle, barrister, thank you. One line. And people, they know, there's one man I know. Every time he talk to him, he starts singing his own songs. Somebody said, why does he do it? I said, nobody is singing it. Because he didn't bless anybody, yet he's conceited that he's a great man. If I mention his name, some of you will know him. Every time I meet the man, I feel sorry for him. He's about 80 years old. He sings his own songs all the time because nobody is singing it. He's conceited. He thinks he's a great man. What I'm trying to say, that's one of the effects of the curse of Noah. People can't expand their minds. They make 2 million, they are happy. Now, I'm trying to emphasize something here. So don't let some temporary small success derail you. All right? A lot of people have missed the time of their generation. And there is something God wants to do in each generation. Let me not waste all my time now, all right? I'll spend all my time on this. But go and read this man's book. I recommended it a number of times. Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. You will see that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Time and chance happens to men. And listen, in your generation, there's what God wants to do. Are you getting my point? What is it? Actually, you don't know it until he does it. I was on TV today. Sorry, I was watching TV today, Christian TV. And one man was teaching. I was enjoying. I was standing watching him. After a while, he delved into an area. I walked away. Now, what is going to happen right now is that Iraq is going to be rebuilt. They will agree with Iran. They will invade Israel. Your point is to tell you. Excuse me. You don't know. Nobody knows. They don't know. And it's people gather eschatology. I've seen, I love Americans. They can entertain. Hollywood is not only in Hollywood, it's in church. They sit down there. This Antichrist was Russia. You know what I'm saying? And Russia is going to join with China and invade this and that. After a long time, communism dissolved. Then they moved to Iraq. Then Americans themselves went and killed Saddam. Then they moved to Iran. They have been chasing the Antichrist up and down. You don't know where he's coming from. Forget it. That it might be fulfilled, that which was written. That's the way it is. After it has been fulfilled, we'll discover it has been fulfilled. Trying to say, hey, Jesus said, when they tell you, come, go here. He said, don't follow them. They don't know what they are saying. And then he said that you really can't tell for sure what God wants to do in this generation. But you must be prepared for whatever it is he wants to do. In that Luke chapter 19, we saw that the king went out and gave money to his servants. Occupy, do business with this until I come back. He never told them he was going to make them rulers over cities. The fact that they had no idea is confirmed by the fact that one man said that I knew the kind of man you were, you know, so I didn't want to lose your money. I hid it. Look at your money. He didn't know that they were judging his ability to handle resources. What God is doing in this generation, you don't know for sure, but you must be ready. I said what? You must be ready. And that's what we are preaching. Last time I said people can miss the appointed time, and we began to see the reasons why. Now let's continue today, reading from the book of Matthew chapter 24. In God's great scheme of events, you have a part to play. And you must be ready, that's what we are saying. Now I'm going to read a very long portion, so as I often do, so as to save time, I jump here and there. So let me start from verse 36. Just follow me in your Bible very closely. You will see how I'm jumping a bit here and there. I'll let you know. I just want to start from verse 36. Actually, start from verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree and all of that. In the verse 6, it said, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. But there is a day and an hour. Is that not true? Yeah, there is. He said, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. And as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. He says, so shall the coming, I'm applying it now, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So shall the appointed time of God be. People will not know until it comes upon them. He said, then there shall be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, verse 42, please notice this. He said, for this reason, be on the alert. For you do not know which day the appointed time of God is. I'm applying it. But be sure of this. That if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he was using that to illustrate how this thing happened suddenly, and nobody really knows when, ahead of time. He said he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Please, a principle is developing here. Please, look up for a moment. I've said it to us again and again, and I will not stop saying it. What I want to say, you know it already, but just that you don't know which of those things I'm obsessed with. I'm about to say. Notice here, he said, if the Lord of the house had known when the thieves were planning to show, he would not have allowed it. Do you get my point? So what does he do? The Lord of the house is what he does. He therefore makes ready all the time. He does not prepare for the coming of the thief by calculating the time the thief might come. For example, most countries in the world today, let's take the most prominent one we know, United States of America, or let's take Nigeria as an example. No shot has been fired at a Nigerian president since how many years? American president, the same thing. Nobody's firing shots at them. But the security forces don't slacken for half a second because of that. They won't say, well, information reaching us shows that Barack Obama is going to be attacked sometime next week. So next week, let us start defending him. That's the way the man will get killed fast. What am I saying? In the same manner, it is not possible for Christians to target their spiritual activities at a particular thing that they think is about to happen. I don't know what I heard I say. You can't. That is why, let me say it one more time. You cannot say, I want to give money towards this thing. That is, I want to buy a car. So let me sow a seed towards the buying of my car. The only seed you need to sow towards the buying of your car is to the bank. Your own equity contribution towards the purchase of the car. I'm telling you the truth. Any other one is a joke. I hear it all the time, and I will continue to warn you that you are wasting your time. You don't know the time, do you? You have no idea. Therefore, sow your seed in the morning. And at night, don't stop sowing your seed. That's what Solomon explained to us. So what do Christians do? We sow seeds all the time. We are continual givers. Look, that's the concept Jesus was explaining here. Believers, stop trying to say, when this is about to happen, we'll now get ready. You'll see something as we go on. I want to develop that today. My main message today, let me just title my message for you today. I called it the oil and the lamb, because we're going to continue into the story of the virgins. You will understand what makes some people foolish. And let me quickly jump ahead of myself and explain it now. The foolish virgins were those who went to look for faith when they needed it. The foolish virgins were the ones that prayed only when calamity was upon them. The foolish ones were the ones that sought seeds to come out of financial difficulty. Let me say it one more time. It is foolishness for Christians to want to sow a seed so that their financial difficulty will be broken. It's not true. It does not work. Listen to me, saints of God. The wise virgins sowed their seeds when they did not have financial difficulty. They prayed their prayer when there was no calamity. They looked for faith when they did not acutely need it. You will see as we go on that the oil, go and read Zechariah chapter 4. You will see they saw two olive trees beside the lampstand. And they said, my Lord, what are those ones? He said, you don't know. He said, these are the anointed ones that stand before the Lord. And I checked it, I searched it out. Amplified put a qualification, I explained who they were. I said, no sir, that's not what he was saying. He said, these are the sons of oil. These are the prophets, because you see, go and read Ezra chapter 6. They succeeded, the elders of Israel succeeded in rebuilding because of the prophesying of Zechariah and the other man. I mean, Haggai and Zechariah. That is, the continual infilling of the word of God from the mouth of the prophet gave them the strength to succeed. Oil, therefore, is the word that God is pouring into your life. You must grab it whether you think you need it or not. I've heard a lot of foolishness. People telling me that what you are preaching now, I don't need it now. You are mad. I talked to a young woman once that you come there for Bible study and says, what you are preaching, I don't need it. That's why you will fail in life. That's foolishness of the virgins. You want to learn about marriage when you are looking for a wife or a husband. You want to learn about prosperity when you have children and you have to pay school fees. That is the foolishness of the virgins. Because you don't know when calamity is going to come upon you. You have no idea. It's going to come like a thief in the night. Foolishness are those who look for things when they think they need it. That's what foolishness is in Christianity. You see it? I see it a lot of times. People want to be pastors. They start reading a book on pastoring. You just know that one failed. That is, the first 10 years of ministry is going to be in trouble. The first 10 years of ministry, he will struggle and struggle and struggle. Why? Doors are being shut against him. The master showed up when he was not prepared. Listen, the master was beginning to explain this to us here. Nobody starts preparing for the thief when the thief is about to show up. He prepares whether the thief comes or he doesn't come. Thieves have never broken into my house. But I always lock my door. Are you getting my point? Listen, there are times, maybe I forget to lock my car. Somebody said that was risky. I said the thief did not know the car would be open. I don't know what I heard I said. He doesn't know the car that's open. What I'm trying to say is this. We all lock our cars. I remember this will make you laugh. Where I used to live in Luz then. There were these thieves that used to go from room to room. They know you are inside sleeping. They sneak in, you are asleep. they clear your room while you are sleeping. Because it was such a... You can imagine student hostel as an exam, something like that. You know, big block, a lot of people living there. So, the windows didn't have bars. Just, you remove the louvers, you are inside the room. So they took advantage of the fact that the corridors were not lit. So they quickly removed the louvers, tear the mosquito netting, and enter. Now, they entered my neighbor's room one day. And as they stepped, in fact, that's the room I used to stay before I moved into the next apartment. As they stepped into, and they cut the net, removed the louvers neatly, one by one, made no noise. But as we were stepping into the room, they stepped on the chair. And the guy used to play chess. So the chess board was on the chair. So they knocked down the chess board and the pieces fell on the floor. And at the imagine quietness of 2, 3 a.m., those small rumblings is like thunder. So they ran away and he too woke up. He came, woke me up and all of that. And he told me something. He said, "Banky, do you know the door was not locked?" He came from work, lay down and fell asleep. The door was just there. Turn the handle and you enter. But these guys took time to cut net, remove louvers one by one, and were going like a thief through the window that they were. You get what I'm saying? I'm making an issue here. Nobody knows when these things are going to happen. Do you get my point? So you are supposed to just prepare for them, all right? Yeah, I'm saying that nobody, even the thief, didn't know they are not prepared. That's what the Lord was telling us. Let's stop waiting for when the thief calls us before we lock our doors. That's what he was saying. In the application thereof is this for Christians. You don't wait till calamity comes upon you to go and get the oil that solves the problem. See, I was thinking about it again today. All this anointing for breakthrough, miracles, miracle, 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 miracle. I've said it before, it's not what the Lord likes to do. It's like trying to rear your children on medicine. Are you getting what I'm saying? Miracles are medicines. They fall sick, then you give them a medicine to bring them out of sickness. But they don't grow and maintain health by medicine. They grow and maintain health by food. Are you getting what I'm saying? Breakthrough, miracles, they are not food. God used them once in a while to solve your acute sickness. You enter financial distress, a miracle happens. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're sick, a miracle happens. But what God actually planned is that you eat all the time. And his word is the food. And the wise virgins were those ones who stocked up on the food, which is the word of God. I sat on that verse for quite a while. Let's continue reading. Verse 44 says, "For this reason, you'll be ready too." That's what I've been saying. "For the Son of Man is coming. The appointed time of God for your life and for your generation is coming when you do not think it will." He said, "Who then is a faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time?" That is, he has a responsibility. Now, the Lord is now beginning to tell us how people are supposed to prepare. This is how they are supposed to watch. This is how they are supposed to be careful. "Blessed is that servant or that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes." That is, he gave him a job to do at a particular time. Even though the man did not know when the master would come, he was doing it when the master came upon him suddenly, and that was the source of his blessing. "Truly, I said to you that he will put him in charge of all his possession. But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and then he shall begin to beat his slaves under him and eat and drink with drunkards. Such were they in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking." Are you getting my point? "Until the day that Noah entered the ark." We read a few verses ago. He said, "The master of that slave," verse 50, "will come on a day when he does not expect and at an hour which he does not know, and shall cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping shall be there and the gnashing of teeth."
then the kingdom of God will be comparable. Still continue. Forget the verse, the chapter distinction there. To 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Still the same principle. 5 were foolish, 5 wise or prudent. When the foolish took the lamps, they took no oil. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. Now, let me stop here for a while. God often appears as if he's delaying. Are you getting what I'm saying? God often appears as if he's delaying. In fact, Peter had to explain that it's not as if he's delaying, it is because a day with him is like 1,000 years. He knows what he's waiting for. He's waiting for the accomplishment of certain events. Now, please listen to this. I told you there are 2 overlapping principles here. Seasons come when the preceding season is full or accomplished. When the clouds are full, he says, they pour forth rain upon the earth. That's one principle. That is, God does not release the next season until the previous one has been accomplished. There's a second principle, which is he does not wait forever. Are you getting what I'm saying? He does not wait forever. These 2 seasons, these 2 principles overlap. God appears to be delaying a lot of times. And what people should understand is that he's not wasting time. He has an appointed time, but for him to release, even though the appointed time has come, are you getting my point? The season before that time must be accomplished. Listen, this is what I'm preaching actually today. That we must be ready. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, the time that the Lord is delaying is so that you may be ready when he comes. Because he does not wish that any should perish. He does not wish that any should miss his appointed time. But the appointed time, when it comes, can miss the person. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, he waits for the person to get ready. So that when the Lord comes, the fellow is fully prepared. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let me say this to you. I told you to go and listen to those messages. How to wait for God. I have to repeat the message again. You cannot hear this thing enough. Let me just continue preaching. All right? There's a way. The Bible says hope that is deferred. All right? Makes the heart sick. But a desire fulfilled is a what? Tree of life. If you are on our mailing list, the first mail I sent, I think, was the beginning of this year, was on how to set goals. Let me quickly preach it for about a minute or two. Stop setting goals of things that are not within your power. A woman can say, my goal for next year is that I should have children. Who do you conceive conception? Do you control it? You can't set such a goal. If you are living in Lagos and your husband is in Enugu, it's a good goal to say, whether they transfer me or not, next year I'm joining my husband in Enugu. That's a seed for conception. Amen? That's a seed. You are sowing a seed. That's a seed. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. You don't set goals on things that are not within your power. You have desires concerning things that are not within your power. You cannot say, next year I am going to sell 20 million naira as a businessman. It's not within your power. It's not. You go first person buy. If you buy on credit, you want first and pay. Go and read it, because you know, I sent the mail out, all right? This is on our mailing list, but I've gotten it there. I can't go set it. That stop setting goals on things that are not within your power. You can't set a goal by next year, I must make 25 million. That's what makes heart sick. You set goals on things that are within your power. What do I mean? Instead of saying, I will sell 20 million, and I say, I will see, that one is within your power. I am going to see 5 new clients every week, whether they want to see me or not. Are you seeing that? After all, knocking on door is free.
Calling somebody, nobody, they charge you. The man will say, for calling me for 3 minutes, you will pay. It is the network that collects their money. You can say, okay, I will see 5 people, hoping that out of every 5, one go jail. And if one jails every week for 50 weeks, maybe that will come to 20 million naira for your business. So that if you see 5 people every week for 1 month and none jails, your heart is still satisfied because you accomplished the goal. What you do is that you sow your seed and allow God to give the increase. You never make goals of the increase. You can only make goals of the seed. So, maybe in my office, I can't determine I must be promoted next year. It's a prayer. These are things you pray about. You kneel down and you ask God. And please, even though you can give God your request, you don't set time for Him. Are you hearing my point? You can make your request to God, but you don't set time. Say, God, by next year, you must do this. God, so can I know they do it. What next? Say, Lord, this is what I want. I want born twins. That is okay. I would like them to come next year. That's a good prayer. Can't make demand. Baba God, next year, I have told you, because I was not listening. What do you want to do? I'm just going to say something. You pray about those things. But you set goals, also with prayer, actually. All right? But on things that are within your control. Let me now go back to what I was saying. I just want to shift that one by the way. Alright? Now, this is why how people's hearts get faint. They set their minds on the coming of the Lord. They set it on it so much they miss the duty that God gave them before He will come. So that even if He were to come, when He will arrive, they will be found unworthy. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a story I heard long ago. Someone was just going to illustrate the power of love, all right, as being superior to that of faith and that of hope. This is what the fellow said. He said that faith, a man, hope, another person, and love were waiting for the Lord one day. Faith believed that the Lord would come. Hope was looking for the coming of the Lord. Love also believed that the Lord would come. When one poor old man got to the house of Hope, Hope said, please, I'm waiting for somebody. Excuse me, move, move. You can come anytime. Leave here. He drove him away. Then Faith too, the old man got to the door of Faith, please, can I come in? Faith said, no, please. I believe so strongly that this entrance is for the Lord alone. So please, you will have to excuse me. Then he now got to the house of Love. Love said, I'm waiting for the Lord, but you look cold. We like to eat something. Okay, while I'm waiting, just come inside. Please don't disturb me because I'm waiting. But let me quickly attend to you. As he was attending to him, he discovered that this was the Lord that they were waiting for. Did you get what I'm saying? The Lord, they were waiting for him. But he came in the manner they did not expect. So they missed his coming. But because love, even though it was waiting for the Lord, still had the mind to do his duties for the present time. Are you getting my point? So when the Lord came, even though he did not actively know it was the Lord, he received the Lord. The Bible says, receive angels unawares. And I'm telling you again, the widow of Zarephath did not receive Elijah because of a miracle. She received Elijah because he was really hungry. Go and read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained it there. That's why I've told you, Christians, I don't care how many people preach against what I'm saying now. I will continue to say it because Baal can have 450 prophets and Elijah have been the only prophet of God. It makes no difference. He was right, they were wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is what I'm telling you. When you do good works deliberately because of the reward attached, you are wasting time. Let me say one more time. When you do good works because of the reward attached, you're wasting time. Because you don't know when God counts and how he counts. At the risk of sounding like a broken down record, I have to continue to say this thing. You can go to church because, listen, God judges you according to the demands he has made of you. Did you hear what I said? His judgment is based upon the demands he made of you. So if God tells you, listen, sweep this floor properly, and you say, I want to go and sweep the house of God. When God comes to judge, the floor he gave you to swept is dirty. That's what you are going to be judged by. Idolatry is what we practice as Christians these days. We can sweep in church, but we can't sweep at home. They say he's a humble man. What do you mean by he's humble? He can worship God. When he's worshiping God, he will roll on the floor. I've heard it before. He doesn't care whether his claw touches mud when he's worshiping God. That is not a problem. Let an Okada man splash water on him tomorrow. That's when you know who is really worshiping. It's not there you go. You look in church. Everybody respects that crazy building we call church. I heard what I said. I know what I said. I said crazy building. Because it's a building. It's mortar and brick, iron rod, cement, Dangote, and coal. Are you getting what I'm saying? What makes the church really is the gathering of the people of God. If they gather in Polo Park, Polo Park just got anointed. What am I saying? How will we not miss the coming of God? We don't focus on it. That's what I'm explaining. We focus on the work he gave us to do while he's away. That way, whether he comes now or comes tomorrow, really he doesn't matter. One of the things I discovered from the scriptures is that God loves to occupy people. Let me say one more time. God loves to do what? Occupy people. He doesn't leave them idle. When we say wait for God, that's one thing people don't understand. The waiting of Christianity is not hanging. You know what I'm saying? You just hang. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? I never find work. That doesn't make sense in Christianity. It's not possible. There's work all the time. They may not pay you $500,000 a month, but there's work all the time. There's a place where you are needed. There's a place you can bless people. That is, if you don't come, they know you are not present. They start looking for you. That is work. That's what God has done for us as believers. We are occupies. Listen, the Bible says, Solomon said that he occupies people even with gladness. God can make you so happy you don't know about the troubles going on around. Are you getting what I'm saying? God occupies people. He doesn't like people hanging and waiting for him. That's why I don't believe the gospel that says that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Nonsense. Anywhere I am today, I must be fruitful. I must multiply. I must fill the earth. I must subdue it. And I must have dominion. I must be kept busy doing that thing until he comes. God does not judge me according to the results I got. He judges me according to the occupation I had. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. How occupied was I with what he said I should do? Whether I got results or not is besides the point. Why? Because he determines results. I planted. Apollos watered. Paul was speaking. He said, but God gave the increase. So he says, Paul, be occupied with planting. Apollos, be occupied with watering. You don't sit down there and say, hey, has he increased? No. You plant this one and you leave it. Apollos comes, he waters it. Then you keep planting and you keep watering. And you will be busy. By the time you come round again, are you getting what I'm saying? You will discover that they have all increased. And you yourself, the Lord said, will know not how. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I pause there to let you understand something. This is what God does. He occupies people. And let me say it again. That's how we wait for God. We identify the assignment for now. And we are occupied with it. And let me just say quickly. Oh, let's continue reading. So many things to say. Where did I stop? There was a place where I paused and started talking plenty. Verse what? Okay. So I said, the bridegroom was delaying. They all got drowsy and began to sleep. I said, God often looks as if he's wasting time. And in that process, when God looks as if he's not coming quickly, people start losing heart and they begin to fall asleep. But listen to me, a time will come when the shout will come. Because the Bible says at midnight, there was a shout, behold the bridegroom, come out and meet him. I need to explain this. Of course, you know the rest, let me just quickly read it and I will explain. Then, of course, all the virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, then the foolish ones found out that they didn't have enough oil. The wise ones said to them, quickly go and get more oil. And then come back. Now, this is what I want you to understand. If you look around, generally, you know, they've said this several times before, that these churches are full of young people. You notice that? Generally, please, try and follow what I'm saying and not misunderstand me. When people have received light, I mean, as a people, as a nation, you understand? Like Nigeria now, as an example, in southern Nigeria particularly, and most of Nigeria, the gospel is in the air. Are you getting my point? It's in the air. It's in the air. It's in the air. Please don't misunderstand me. The times... God, please, let them not misunderstand, whoever is hearing this. The time of hearing that the 70-year-old man just gave his life to Christ, is going to be very rare. If he did not give his life to Christ when he was 30, 40, 50, it's very few. I'm not saying impossible. Very few of them. It's like in the life of 70. Those days, that gospel was for when everybody was in darkness. And so as light came, it met them at different seasons, all right, different ages. But that you have been roaming around this country, you've not heard the gospel. You have heard it. But now you're at the age of 50, you have not believed. You're a wicked soul. I'm going somewhere, please. Now, listen to this. So generally, it's young people that God calls. That's what I'm going to explain. So you start telling stories of when we're on campus or shortly after that. Generally, people are in their teens, early 20s, you know, mid-20s. And then they believe the gospel. In that generation, listen to this, midnight will come. What do I mean by midnight? Most of the things they believed would not manifest on time. Did you hear what I said? Midnight will come into each generation. It's not because, I mean, I talked to a man of God some time ago. He said when he was a student. In fact, I don't want to start mentioning names. A lot of preachers you know now, they were all contemporaries. He would tell you that, if I told me the story of once he went to Aba to go and preach, from campus, University of Benin, he went to Aba to go and preach as a student. Then crusades, that's what these boys were preaching in. He said, well, there was a time he put up his hand, just said, he didn't know what he wanted to do. Let us pray. Put up his hand and said, Holy Ghost. He didn't even know what he wanted to do or wanted to say. Just said, Holy Ghost. As he said it, some guys had come there to cause trouble. They caught fire. That is, not physical fire, but they started burning. They started running and running through windows. People were disappearing through windows. He said, Holy Ghost. There's one person this time was telling me stories when he started a church in Enugu, then he went to Lagos. He mentioned one prominent person in Nigeria. There was a day they were talking. And he laid hand that, I think they had an argument or something about something. So he wanted to put a point to the guy, told the guy to come. And he laid hands on the guy, all right, to prove to him that the power of God is real. The next thing he knew, he didn't find the fellow again. He just saw his shoes there. The guy rose up into the air and flew backwards and fell behind them. How he knew the guy had to rise up was that his shoes were just intact where they were. No, I'm serious. This other man I was telling you about said, when he left school, something happened. Everything just went dry. Now, get my point. Everything went dry. Now, he was wondering, what's going on? It's as if God gives each generation a foretaste of what his power that will manifest in them is going to be like later. And he allows them to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. Why does he do it? That's when he starts separating those who were entertained and they were enjoying it, and those who had real substance. Those who filled their lamps. Do you get my point? There are those that when God is moving, listen, the movement, you know what I mean? The move of God often is a distraction if your heart is not correct. When God appears, mountain will catch fire. Elijah. You will see rock breaking, thunder, everything. But Elijah said, God is not in all those things. Being an experienced man walking with God, he saw thunder, he was not distracted. He saw fire, he wasn't distracted. Rock break if you like. This is in Japan with it. You know, he wasn't moved. He focused. Then in the midst of all of that, he now heard this still, small voice. God began to communicate with him. When you see too much noise, be afraid. I said, when I'm talking, please be careful. I don't want to be misunderstood. But go and see the Lord Jesus Christ. When the multitude gathers, he tells them a few stories. Then he moves back to the selection of disciples and begins to tell them truth. You can't preach truth when there are 7 million people looking for a miracle in front of you. It shall be well with you. Amen. It shall be well with you. Amen. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. 25 will get healed. Everybody go home. No, look. I'm talking to Christians, not Muslims. Amen. Are you a sinner? You're not a sinner, so what I'm saying is true. I mean, I'm calling you to a deep walk with God. That's what I'm trying to explain. All right? Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So, when the noise flares up, there will be some quiet. Are you getting my point? What they call the eye of the storm. Before the next one hits, that is when everybody falls asleep. Those who don't have oil, that's when their oil starts getting spent. It starts finishing. Then they start devising methods to keep the thing appearing as if it is still there. That is when preachers backslide. They cannot accept that dark times come, even in ministry. It doesn't mean you're a sinner. It just means that things are not always woo, woo, woo. Plenty of noise. You can leave campus where you are the big champion preacher. You come out, nobody knows your name. They don't want to hear you. But this is the thing. There is always something to keep you busy if your eye is not fixed on that coming of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? God will always give you something to keep you busy. To keep you occupied. And you are going to be judged when it comes with how you occupied that one. That's what I'm explaining. When I'm talking about how to wait for God. You are believing God for a big business. He has given you a job. The money is not much. If they don't prosper in that company because of you, no big business is coming. Just by the way, you know Faladiro Toye? How many of you know, if you know of Faladiro Toye, say amen. Men like Faladiro Toye, they are plenty, what I mean by plenty? Blessed men. You get my point? Not only him, people who are blessed generally. Unfortunately, people don't like to hear full stories. They want to hear that the man said, when I started my company, my bedroom was the office. I would remove mattress in the morning. Do you get my point? And then we'll set up table. And then I went from here. I borrowed computer and I used this. People don't ever want to hear that long before that, he made one man called Mr. Phillips rich. He worked for Phillips Consulting. And he was there making that man rich. You think he just woke up one day in an empty room with only a mattress
Anxiety saying, I call prosperity. Prosperity. Come, go and ask him how long he spent in Ife. I think on campus somewhere doing something for a year and a half or so. Ask him how long he spent making Mr. Phillips rich. Ask him those questions. And stop trying to sow one stupid seed into his life to tap a satanic anointing. That's what people do. Sorcery. You want to give him some money and then you'll be rich like him. You want to follow his path? Look for your own Mr. Phillips and make him rich. Go to your own University of Ife and spend a year and a half doing nothing, doing so, you know what I mean? Nothing financially now, but sowing a seed into the lives of people. Go and do it. And stop trying to just, you know, say, I saw that man preach today. I knew I was going to be great. Enter room, locked door. Give me one mattress. Remove the furniture. I want to sleep on mattress for 2 weeks. People, look, they want to see the glory, you know, that glory time. The Bible says there's always the sufferings of Christ first before the glories to follow. That's midnight. I'm going to know one thing here. Let me not forget it. I said, I'm talking about what? The lamb, the oil, and the lamb. Because anytime you see, like that lamb, is for light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let me just summarize, because I don't want time, I have time to be analyzing it. What he was saying is simple. Is your character good or bad? Is tested in the midst of affliction. Light. That lamb, are you getting my point? That lamb refers to your character. The kind of person that you really are. Do you know what I know? When everybody is shouting, when you go to school, when you go to campus, are you a Christian? If you're not it's the easiest place to walk in righteousness. Let nobody lie you that there's temptation on campus. It's a lie. You want to see temptation? Come outside. Listen, if you are a man, if you are a woman as an example, your roommates, they will know the night you don't sleep in the hostel. But when you are living alone, your landlord doesn't check whether you come or you don't come. They don't. On campus, don't go to fellowship for 2 days. Everybody's looking for you. Come to town. Miss church for 1 week. Unless you're a heavy tither, your pastor won't even notice. Nobody knows. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares about you? Nobody cares. You want to see temptation? That is when it is. On campus, people are there encouraging you. Sister, brother, you didn't come to fellowship. Where were you? The point is this, You had to go to fellowship. Somebody was watching you. And you're in town, boy. Either you're in Lagos, even if they want to follow you up, when they jump for traffic on the way route to Okukumaiko twice, they will forget you. Say, go to hell if you want. What am I saying here? Listen. This is what I'm making. When there's plenty of noise, while it is still daytime, all right, you won't know who's foolish amongst the virgins. You won't know who's wise. You won't know who has oil because it's day. They are not burning it yet, really. Are you getting what I'm saying? Everybody is just there. It, as part of the activity, they are not absorbing and soaking in the word of God. The amount of word you soaked in the midst of that activity is when you come out and nobody's with you in the midst of darkness. That's when it starts getting being tested. Do you get what I'm saying? Now let me just please, I don't want to forget the matter we're talking about, being ready for the appointed time. Now, I said the lamb, all right, represents what? Your character. That's what you are radiating. That's the light that you are radiating. In fact, there's one scripture, if I may quickly refer to it, maybe because of time, that's in Luke chapter 12. It's something similar to this, but not. Don't read it. Don't open to it. I'll just quickly read it, all right? The Lord Jesus said something in verse 35. He said, be dressed in readiness. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. When I read the word dressed in readiness, because if you go and read Revelations, he will tell you that the righteous, the white robe is the type of the righteousness of the saints. That is, keep walking righteously. Are you getting my point? The ready dress is the righteous walking that you maintain even when nobody is watching, even when things are not going the way you would like them to be, even when life is not responding to you the way you spoke it, that, you know, call those things that be not as though they were.
What happens a lot of times as Christians is that when you have called money doesn't flow, you join your colleagues, your neighbors in the market, the way everybody else is doing it, so as to make money. And that is a sign. Listen to what I'm going somewhere else. That is a sign that there's no oil in your lamp. Are you getting my point? When the pressures of life now turns you to a typical human being in doing business, there's no oil in your lamp. I'm going somewhere, please. And this is where I'm going. If the Lord were to arrive while you are walking in the way of the world, listen to me, you have missed the timing permanently for your generation. Permanently. This is the problem. We start preaching. Oh God. God, please, I pray nobody misunderstands me. I'm talking about Christians. Those who have known the Lord for years, they are the ones I'm speaking to now. Listen to me. That is why it is not the time that breakthrough for your generation has come. Please. That you start looking for repentance and learning how to walk in righteousness. Because somebody starts preaching to you that this is how Christians will succeed. And I'm sorry to say, people are misinformed today. Are you getting my point? People backslide all their lives. They refuse to follow God. They suddenly, they have reached the time when the people in their generations are supposed to settle. Are you getting me? They are supposed to enter into breakthrough. One pastor now starts telling them that what you will do, listen to me, is they start teaching them acts of righteousness. Quickly go and pray all night. Quickly go and sow a dangerous seed. Quickly go and prophesy. Quickly go. They start learning faith when they are in trouble. Unfortunately, the door has been shut. Listen. You will go through affliction in life if you heard the gospel as a young man. The time of leanness will come upon you. It's not a curse. That's the time you must be most careful to ensure you don't depart from the doctrines of righteousness. Because if the Lord walks in while your lamp is out, all these emergency prayers don't work at all at that time. Listen to me. They don't work. Listen. I said to you earlier, who are the foolish virgins? They are those people that you have been preaching to all their lives. They did not obey what you are saying. They were in school with everybody. Gospel was coming forth. They thought it was play. Because people go to fellowship for all kinds of things on campus. As an example. People go to church for all kinds of reasons. Listen, if the church has a very good social security system, it's a good church to join. A lot of people join for that reason. Yes. There are those that their parents are afraid. This is my boy or this is my girl. They push you. In fact, there was one boy, I remember when I was on campus. The mother brought him to our room. The boy used to gamble on campus, so he forced him to come to fellowship. And my senior brother that time then in the faith, he said, Chukwudi, you have to give your life to Christ too. And the boy bent his head there. Lord Jesus, come into my life, come into my life. Say after me, say, no, it's not the Lord that's saying after him. I mean, he was giving his life to Christ. Of course, the boy came to fellowship and started defrauding people again. People go to fellowship for all kinds of reasons. That's what I'm going to explain. All kinds of reasons. It's when fellowship now leaves them and life allows them to test whether the word entered or it did not enter. This is what I'm saying. People now, when problems come, when the appointed time for a generation comes, people start feeling they know something is about to happen. Are you getting my point? They know. Then that's when people now want to start learning. A man has been going to church for 20 years. All the prayer and fasting he did not do in 20 years. He wants to do it in 1 year that now he's in financial distress. It's called the lamp has finished. The oil has finished. The lamp is dry. Are you getting my point? And the Lord has come. They start saying that, please don't misunderstand me. A pastor now comes and says, last week, this brother came up to me And he gave a seed of 200,000, being his whole January salary. Hallelujah. The following week, he was promoted. 2 weeks after that, the insurance his father took for his grandfather many years ago that he never claimed was released. How much was it? 2.5 million. 1 week after that, they started sharing land in their village and only he got 16 plots of land. Did that happen? Maybe it did. But if you go and check, that was a wise virgin. Then all the foolish virgins start rushing forward with offerings. Emergency righteousness. They are now trying to buy oil that they didn't buy before the bridegroom came. Now the bridegroom had come, has shut the door. They do not realize it. Now he's serving his feast inside the banquet hall. And a man is reporting, watching through the window, what is going inside there. Now they are rushing to buy expensive oil. But the door is shut. Let me say it to you again. The lamp talks about your righteousness, your character, which must be shining when the Lord comes. Let me just give us a testimony. I don't want to overshoot. I want to close now. Next time I'll talk about the source of that oil. We'll read from Zechariah chapter 4. I thought I would get there today, but we can't get there. You see that Zechariah saw the lamp, the lampstand. Then he saw two olive trees. And they were feeding the lampstand. Then he asked, he said, what are these? We'll analyze that scripture that time. That lamp, he said, the angel said, this is the word of the Lord. I used to think that he said that, they said, what are these? And I said, forget first, let me give you a message for Zechariah. No, that lamp was the word of God. Because the angel said, this is the word of God, which is saying, say to Zerubbabel. That lamp was the word of God. It was uttering something. Are you getting what I'm saying? We'll discuss it next time. Then he said, what are these two trees? He said, these are the sons of oil. These are the anointed ones. They referred to the prophets that were prophesying. Do you understand my point? And they were feeding that lamp with the oil of God. Listen, the time of your smallness before the bridegroom starts coming near is when you should grab all the prophecies that you can. Listen, let nobody lie to you. And you believe God today. Someone see tomorrow. Tomorrow you enter into breakthrough. It's a lie. That's the summary of it. I know I'm saying this is on television. I want the whole world to hear it. It is what? A lie. It is a lie. You buy oil at midnight. The bridegroom has not come. You buy oil. If anybody starts telling you that when the bridegroom came and we had our oil, then we began to feast, he forgot to tell you that until the doors are shut, the feast is not served. It is dangerous for Christians to walk carelessly. That's what I'm telling you. Christians, you can't walk carelessly. You can't play and say, no, when that time comes, when I want to marry that time, I'll go and read on how to be a good wife. And I'll go and get the book on how to be a good husband. Listen, it is dangerous for a Christian to walk carelessly. There are things I'm afraid to say so that those who still have hope won't think I'm preaching against them. You know, there are people that have hope. God is, no, I'm telling you, abundant mercy. Look, I know what I'm saying. There are people sometimes, look, there's no human being I'm mentioning, but you don't want to get to a place in life. One of the things that scare me most in life, personally, it's one of the reasons why I like to follow God very well. I don't want to be locked up and the keys thrown away. I'm afraid of it. I don't mean police cell. Police cell, no matter how much you throw the key away, the door will open. I'm talking about life. Life locks you into struggles at the age of 55. Your children are in late secondary school. They're entering university. Life locks you into struggle. The bills are coming faster than the money to pay them.
Listen, I don't want to succeed at the expense of my blood pressure. I don't want to have a stroke ever in my life. I hate to want to talk and not be able to talk. I've had dreams like that. It's not witch. It's just one of those hypnopompic and hypnagogic things. We call them in medicine. It's not witch. Everybody has it. I've never had a dream like that. You want to get up, you can't move. It's not a witch. It's just the brain goes through. Brain, they misbehave once in a while. So don't go for deliverance. You've had people now go for deliverance. If I'm a deliverance preacher now, if I come forward, three of you will jump up now. Let me deliver you. There's nothing wrong with you. It happens. It's one of those cycles of life. You are there. Your body is still asleep. Your brain has woken up. At least thank God in a dream. At least in a space. It only lasts about 10, 15 seconds. Imagine if it's going to last 2 years. Baba God, please. Because there are things you should not do to me. Can't stand there. I'll just die. I'll just close my eye and die. I just said, your father, okay. Or close your eyes. Now, I'm looking at an issue. So that we don't get into those phases, into those kind of situations in life as Christians. Eh? What we do, listen, you maintain the integrity of your character in the midst of difficulty by drinking the oil of God constantly. Your generation, listen, forget your generation. Your time will come. Listen, there's a time God will show up. How he meets you at that time is what determines what he will do to you. Blessed is the servant, the slave, who the master finds so doing when he comes. Not so committing to doing. You know what I'm saying? I promise I won't do this again. Blessed is the one who he finds so doing, and cursed is that one that he finds not doing. I want to close. Let me close. I'll just try and continue from this spot. I wish I could next time. I will have two stories. Let me just add this story to 15 seconds. I've told the story before. A friend of mine once, they tried to do business. Let me just summarize the story, because we use these material things to emphasize the point, all right? Once, a friend of mine called me. He said, man of God, I want to send you an offering. I was abroad then, so he counted some US dollars. He said, okay, give it to my wife. He said, this is prophet's offering. He sent to me. He said, I'll give you the testimony. So later when he called, he now gave me the gist. They did a job for one big man. And when the man was going to pay them, when they gave him the bill, this is the funny part of it. The man said, sorry, I hope US dollars is acceptable. And they said, no problem, sir. It's very acceptable. So they collected their fee in US dollars. That was when he left the place and called me, you understand? And said, please, he wants to give an offering. So, and that's him, all right, give it to my wife. My wife will pay into my MasterCard account and all of that. Now, this is the point. Sometime before then, also, months before, he had called me again. He said, I should send a Kingdom World Ministries account number. He said, I should send a Kingdom World account number quickly. So I decided he wants to give an offering. So he told me, I sent him the number. He gave the ministry some money. Is the story behind it I'm coming to? They were trying to do a job with one of these top Nigerian banks, all right? Their mortgage division. For a long time, nothing came out of it. So they were even angry, saying, well, all this effort we put into this thing. So they left it. Then this big man, I'm telling you, all right, went to that. He had a job to do. And his friend happened to be the former MD of that mortgage bank. Mortgage division, one of these top Nigerian banks. You understand? The MD at that time. So when they finished discussing the business, the man said to him, if you are looking for somebody that will do this thing honestly and properly, only one person I can recommend. He mentioned my friend's name. Are you getting my point? The day his phone rang, he was on the streets of Enugu. And the man said, I'm chief, so, am I talking to this person? He said, yes, sir. He was like, how did this? No, let me just give a name now that is not the person, you understand? Imagine that you're going on the road now, and then the phone rings, and they tell you that, Jim Ovia has an example, right? MD of Zenith. Please, am I talking to Uche, and you are which is like, yes, but are you a 419 man or a real one? You know, that kind of attitude. My friend, he was driving Enugu here. So the man said, oh, please, Susan, so please give me your number, please. Can you come to my house? Can we talk? Where can we meet? The man said, okay, I can come to you. You can come to my house. He said, yes, sir. He said, okay, we'll see in the evening then. He said, no, yes, sir. He didn't tell the man I was in Enugu. He drove to the airport, parked his car, they bought a flight ticket, hopped on the next available flight. Yeah, because he had to be in VI that evening. That, look, the day he sent Kingdomward money first time was because he said the man kept him waiting. To say sorry, he gave him 200,000 naira. Say, how can I keep a man like you waiting? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He just opened his purse, counted 200,000 bucks and gave it to him. Now, why I told this story is that somebody said, if you are looking for a man who will do this properly and with honesty, there's only one person I can recommend. That's what the story is about. The day he said he wanted to give me money, it was $200, he just gave me like that. But take, man of God. Because they just got paid when they finished the job, he and his friends. Now, I'm bringing an issue. The issue is, the lamp kept burning even when the bridegroom was not around. Let me leave it there. We'll talk about that oil further next time. Reading from Zechariah chapter 4. Have you learned anything today?